This is ESPN Chicago, WNVP, WTBC, HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station. Welcome back to Bears Postgame. Here are your hosts, Jason McKee, Jeff Miller, and Pat the Designer on the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago.
Bears lose their 11th straight to the Green Bay Packers. Matt LaFleur has yet to lose in a rivalry game against the Bears. He's been coaching the team for over 5 years now. Wow. So 11 straight losses for the Bears to the Packers, and this one obviously might hurt the worst of those 11 because it was a clear opportunity. Of the 11? No. I'm not saying all Packers. I'm saying of the 11 straight.
Mac still hurts. Oh, I guess we got a win after the Mac loss, didn't we? We got a win after the Mac loss.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Because we lost the Mac one, and then we won the last one.
Yeah. It's gotten so bad, McCarthy. We actually had to, like, rank the how bad the loss was. That's where we've gotten to. Like, that is, man.
Yeah, it was a brutal way to lose today, 20-19 at home on a blocked field goal that would have won it for the Bears. But alas, it was not to be. I will say, for those who are monitoring these sort of things, the Detroit Lions scored 7 touchdowns on their first 7 possessions with Ben Johnson calling plays. They beat the Jacksonville Jaguars 52-6 as they took their foot off of the accelerator late in the third quarter. Again, 7 for 7 on their first 7 drives. Jared Goff had 412 yards and 4 touchdowns. David Montgomery had a couple of touchdowns. Jameer Gibbs had one. Oh, Jameson Williams, did you see? He pulled out the Marshawn Lynch D's nuts.
Oh,
touchdown.
Jumped in, grabbed hold. Grab a handful as I blow past you.
So, yeah, the Detroit Lions continue to look impressive. They are 9-1 atop the NFC North. We know the Packers won, and, of course, the Vikings won as well today. So, all in all, a pretty brutal day for the Bears. The Vikings are now 8-2. The Packers are, as you probably know, 7-3, and the Bears are 4-6. So, a lot to get after here, including a bunch of phone calls.
Yes.
Let's go on out to Mike, who is in Oak Park. Mikey, what's going on?
What's going on, Mike?
Hold on, gents. That one caller who talked about the refs wanting the Bears to win, it was just hilarious because I guess the Bears blocked the field goal also. But anyway, what I wanted to get your opinion on was that. It seems like when I watch the games, compare over so far this season, that we can't get enough pressure with 4 compared to the other teams, the pressure they can get with 4.
Yeah.
I just want to know you guys what your thoughts on that.
You are absolutely correct.
We talked about this, in the first hour of the show. Just this defense is predicated on being able to get pressure with your front four. Then you don't have to bring linebackers, right? You don't have to bring third level pressures, bringing the safety down. To create chaos back there for the quarterback. And, a lot of times today we saw Jordan Love having, time to moonlight back there with the ball and then makes a big throw because we couldn't get to the quarterback with just 4. So that's going to be this defense. If you can't do that consistently, well, there's going to be big chunk plays to be made for a quarterback because the coverage is a coverage. You can only hold up for so long despite what type of coverage you're in. That front four has got to get there to cause disruption for that quarterback. And if we ain't doing it, we're going to see the chunk plays that we saw from Jordan Love today.
Bears only had DeMarcus Walker had the only sack of the day.
Yeah, and I think here's another, Jeff, you talk about the conservativeness of Flus. I think that the team does kind of embody that feel, unfortunately. Correct me if I'm wrong. The first back-to-back blitzes that I saw called, I believe, came halfway through the third quarter after you basically got no pressure on them the entire day. And I think that led to the DeMarcus Walker sack. At a certain point, you got to realize, listen, we're not getting pressure. We got to switch things up. We got to take a chance. And not to say you didn't. I guess the defense did enough for you to win a game. But, getting to Jordan Love is going to force him to throw more interceptions than not. And he gave you one. I would have turned the pressure up at that point. I just feel like Flus is very content going with the philosophy of this defense versus going with, like you said, KYP, the personnel you actually have. You don't have a guy back there anymore in Andrew Billings who had been dominating rushing the passer this season. Not as much getting the sacks, but his pass rush win rate was phenomenal. He was consistently in the quarterback's face. He was causing the quarterback to get off his spot. He's leading the sacks for other guys. You don't have that guy there anymore. Zach Pickens has not lived up to being the player that we hoped that he was going to be to this point. You hope that there's some continued development there, but without that player there, you got to change where that pressure's coming from. And it just felt like the entire game they were more willing to say, we'll let him stand back there and try his best to pick us apart versus rushing six. Yeah.
You want that quarterback to have happy feet, or you want him to take that extra pat of the ball? And if you do that, usually, if he's taking two pats of the ball, it should be a sack in this league. And if you're not doing that, well, guess what? You see the big chunk plays we saw today.
Yeah, I know. And listen, there's a reason why Ryan Poles was in on Matthew Judon at the start of the season, why he was in those trade talks, why he was trying to make it happen.
Yeah.
I do think they're still lacking another edge rusher. You know, Taylor's had moments. They acquired him for a sixth-round pick at the end of training camp. But the reality is, outside of Montez Sweat, they really need another guy who can bring some push. Yeah. Austin Booker hasn't been that yet. He's a rookie. He's still a developmental project. But again, you know, Walker, he's solid, but he's not going to be a guy who generates pressure on his own. He's going to kind of get, you know, clean up the leftovers when they, you know, when Montez Sweat creates opportunities for him.
Yeah.
Dexter, you know what? He's been MIA the last couple weeks, Javon Dexter. I know he's got a lot of praise early in the season. We haven't seen as much from him.
Yeah, when you look at this defensive line, right, and you're an offensive coordinator or an offense, you know, getting ready to attack this Bears defense, right, when you look at the line offensively and the protection, you say we've got to help where 98 is. That's where Montez Sweat is. Everybody else, we feel like we have an opportunity to win that one-on-one matchup. So we're going to slide a protection to Montez. We're going to put a tight end or a running back over there to chip the help out on 98. But other than that, we're not really worried about anybody else consistently getting pressure or being able to beat us and win those one-on-one matchups consistently to derail our offense. And that's where this defensive line is right now.
That's the voice of Jason McKee. He was on the sidelines of today's Bears-Packers game, as he is each week, along with Pat the Designer. I'm Jeff Meller taking your calls. Let's go to San Diego. Say what's up to Tom. Hey, Tom.
San Diego.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's going on, Tom?
So I kind of wanted to point out real quick that there's a couple positives we have going on right now. So I get it. The Bears lost today, and we're all down about it, right? But we look out into the future, and hopefully Ryan Poles will make the correct move and letting Matt Eberflus, you know, let him go on his way, and that we have a bunch of draft picks in our way that we can actually address the line, the things on both sides of the ball that I think the Bears could be really better at. I don't know if that's the right case, but I just want to hear your guys' opinion on that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, dare I say, and maybe I'm in the minority, does it feel like you moved in the right direction today offensively?
Yeah, of course. I think it definitely did.
If you're moving in the right direction offensively, you got to keep building on this. That's what we came into this season caring most about. Not to say you can say, forget the defense is done, but you still had a defense today that gave up 21 points. You still had a I'm sorry, 20 points. Yeah, it's still under 21. That record's broken now, but maybe they're starting a new one. I think there are positives you can pull from it. It just sucks because you've got to be able to see it through a Packers loss. Like with the offense stepping in the right direction, with the offense seeming competent, and it's seeming like something that can stay. Like, you know, a lot of times all of a sudden you get an offensive coordinator change and it feels like everybody's playing out of their minds. I didn't feel like that happened today. I felt like everybody just played the potential today and your offensive coordinator called some solid plays. There are positives that you can take away from today's game. Like I said, though, it just sucks because you're looking at it through Packers kicking the crap out of you lenses.
I just saw more execution today.
Mm-hmm.
Like guys making blocks they were supposed to make.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Some of the same play calls. We've seen the quick throws out there on the perimeter to DJ and Keenan with Shane Waldron. But what we didn't see is guys making those blocks to spring those those runs after the catch. So it's just guys actually doing their job at a higher level, and that's what we saw, I think, more consistently today.
Better execution, more effort.
Yeah.
They have to build on it, though. It can't just be a one-week, you know, fired offensive coordinator bounce.
Yeah.
You need to see this week in and week out now.
I'll ask you this, J-Mac. Mm-hmm. Does a player-led team, because this is what the Bears want to be, they're very outspoken, they don't hide their feelings. Does a player-led team have more of a chance to sustain what we saw today and keep improving than a team that maybe does have to lean more on the coaching staff?
If you're a team that's coach led, you're going to be average. If you're a team that's player led, you have an opportunity to be great, right? And when I say that, to say this, even with the lack of accountability that we've heard coming out of that locker room with Shane Waldron at the helm of offensive coordinator, right, it's still the players that have to basically say, you got to go out and execute, right? But in practice, it's the players that could say, you know what, that run period wasn't good enough. We need to go back and redo the plays that we sucked at or the plays that we lacked detail in. You know, that protection wasn't right in practice, so we can't just overlook it and expect it to be right on Sunday.
Yeah.
That's a player-led team. You know what I'm saying? And those are things that you have to have. You got to have that type of voice and that type of leader to be able to, you know, hold the team accountable to do those things, right? You can't have a bunch of guys. You got a bunch of young guys already, but like we've talked about all season, who's that voice? Who's the voice of reason that when things aren't going their way, that can sit up in that locker room and say, you know what? That practice wasn't good enough. We need to go out there and do this. We need to pour more emphasis on this. Who's that guy? But you can't be that guy if you're not doing things consistently because nobody's going to follow you.
Let's try Brandon in Michigan City. What's going on, Brandon?
Brandon!
Hey, B.
Brandon.
Brandon, what's good?
All right. Sounds like his phone might have an issue. We'll see if we can reconnect there. How about Eve, who's in D.C.? Eve, you're on the post game show.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, how's it going, Eve?
Hi. Listen, guys, I just want to say that you guys are awesome.
Thank you.
I appreciate everything you all say. I know Jason McKee has played professional football, and he's an awesome guy. He knows what he's saying. Look, let's just give the Bears their props because they have done a great job today, as well as the new offensive coach. I mean, let's just give them all the props. I'm a Bear fan all day, every day. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So you guys are doing a great job. I love watching you. I watch you every week. Go Bears.
Bam.
Let's go.
We got some positive. I think we've been fairly positive considering it was a tough loss for the Bears today. Yeah. Would you guys agree? I think.
No, yeah, because I think here's the thing. We're looking towards the only things that are going to be here. I think we're all three resigned to the fact the coaching issue that is the issue right now is probably not an issue heading into next season. Right?
Well, I think that's, you know,
if you look at positives from today, and I'll talk about the positives through the lens that I saw it out there on the field. You saw a quarterback that got better. I saw a quarterback that started to play within the system. I saw a new coordinator come in and call a game, an effective game plan that could have beat Green Bay, that should have beat Green Bay. You know, I saw guys making plays. I saw a young guy, Romo Odunze, make time and time again, you know, clutch plays in critical situations. I saw Keenan Allen finally making some plays.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was nice.
It was good to see Keenan. We saw the ball back in Cole Kmet's hand. You know, yes, the offensive line was shook up again. You had Jake Curran coming for Ryan Bates, who was out with a concussion. You know, were they dominant the entire game? No, but we did see the emergence of a run game. We saw Caleb Williams run with intention instead of just running around there.
Yes.
You know, when he didn't have to. You know, I saw a defense come up with a big takeaway in the red zone, but I also saw a defense, right, that's been different from a defense that we've seen to start the season, a defense that, you know, critical situations gave up a big play.
Yeah.
Critical situations made a mistake, jumping off sides, 12 men on the field. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Those are things that get you beat. So defensively, I didn't see the growth, but I saw a fight from this team, something we haven't seen the last few weeks.
I'll get back to this too. The most encouraging thing to me, even though it's not going to go down on his ledger as leading a two-minute comeback win or a late-game comeback win, Caleb Williams did everything he needed to do to bring the Bears down the field to win that football game, including responding to consecutive sacks to start the drive that put him in a 3rd-and-19 situation where we see him break the pocket and then make a ridiculous throw that you've already commented on. You know, something, the reason why he was drafted first overall was because of that play.
Yeah.
Like, there's very few guys in the league who can make that play, and he did it to perfection.
Yeah.
And then, because it was 3rd-and-19, he took what was there, and he set himself up for a makeable, convertible 4th-and-3, where he came right back and converts on that play. So, and then lead his team down into a position where a very makeable field goal, to your point, right, Pat? So, you know, again, this is where I'll get back to. You know, I'm not so sure that Ryan Poles is going to part ways with Matt Eberflus. I'm hoping that I can look at today's game and say, listen, man, that he's still leaving too many plays on the table. He's putting too much pressure on his team to be perfect. No players, you know, you're never going to be perfect throughout the entirety of a game. And I think a better coach would put the Bears in position to win some of these games. So I'm hoping Ryan Poles recognizes that. Mm-hmm. If he wants to continue to be the head coach of this team for the long term, I think he needs to make cut ties with Matt Eberflus at the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, listen, when it gets to this, like, this is Matt Eberflus is not the worst hit. First of all, he's not the worst head coach that's ever coached the Chicago Bears.
No.
Matt Eberflus is what many people said Justin Fields was, though. Just good enough to get you beat.
Yeah.
He is good enough to put you in the positions where you can win games, where you should win games, where you where you're going to have the opportunity, but you don't have that opportunity. Why? That's where, like J-Mac brings up, you don't have that attention to detail in practice. You didn't have that attention to detail in training camp. You haven't had, you haven't cared enough about the small things so that they take effect in the big moments, or, and the small things shoot you in the foot.
Or he cares, but he doesn't know how to communicate the message effectively enough so that the players are bearing down in those biggest moments. They're not having those moments where they're jumping offsides.
And it goes back to, like, you know, like having that fear as a player, like of that coach. Like my rookie year, I had Bill Parcells when I was with Dallas. And it was like the fear. Like if Bill Parcells was walking down the hall and you were about to cross paths, like, you would make a U-turn. Even though you know you had to go down the hall to go that way, you'd make a U-turn because you're like, man,
you didn't want to have an uncomfortable.
You went to the bathroom a lot.
What? Like Bill Parcells struck fear. I mean, Bill Parcells told us one time, right? He had for rookies, you couldn't go into the training room, you couldn't get ice, right? And on each training room table, he had bus stop number one, bus stop number two, bus stop number three over the training tables.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, if you went there and got ice, he wasn't going to get you a plane ticket. He was going to cut you and send you home on a Greyhound. So, like, as rookies, like, we were, like, leaving practice. You could be banged up, bumped, bruised up. We were all – we had to go to the gas station.
That was 7-Eleven ice.
Oh, my goodness. Like, you had to go get ice from the gas station.
Yeah.
But Parcells, to his point, though, like, when he would – like, to start practice, when he would walk through the stretch line, right, and you know you can have a bad practice, he would say, hey – I remember him telling one of our, I think it was our kicker. I think his name was Billy Cundiff was our kicker.
Yeah, I remember Billy Cundiff.
Billy, right? Mm-hmm. So I think Billy had a bad game. And on the other field, he had like four kickers trying out. And he walked through the stretch line. And he told Billy Cundiff, hey, you miss a kick today, one of those guys over there is going to have your locker. And I remember doing field goal, Billy lining up for field goal and practicing and his leg like shaking like he was doing the, I don't know what kind of dance he was doing. Like, I'm like, please, Billy, make the kick.
Did he miss?
He made it. But it's having that type of pressure to where, like, having that type of coach to where, like, you know what, like, dude, like, I can't mess up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to mess up because I know my job's on the line. Which you should know that. It's the NFL, but just having that.
It's a mentality that is created from the top down.
Thank you.
And I think it's clear that Matt Eberflus, you see it at the podium each and every week.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's uncomfortable at the podium delivering his message to the media, which is, again, his conduit to the fans.
Yes.
But if he can't deliver it simply to the fans, how are you able to really deliver it to the players?
And I think
I think that gets lost.
Yeah, and he's a player's coach, and it's cool, and I get it. You can have nicknames for your players and stuff
Come
like
on,
that.
Come on, Crusher.
Like, I got nicknames for my players, too, but at the same time, when it's time to hold them accountable, and it's tough sometimes because you may, you know, that's my guy right there. But at the same time, if he's not, you know, holding himself accountable, and he's not living up to our expectation, I've got to discipline him.
Yeah.
I've got to call him out. I've got to, you know, I've got to make him refocus, especially when you have a lot of young guys on the team.
And,
you know, some of these guys on the team, this is their first year, but they feel like they've arrived.
Yeah.
No, you haven't.
Yeah.
You're still going
to. What have you proved in the NFL?
Yes, you're still going to go get the food, rookie. You're still going to pay for rookie dinner. You haven't done anything. You know what I mean? That's the type of, you know, command that you got to have of the team. And like I said before, once that culture slips and once that standard slips, it's hard to get back. And that's what we've seen, right? We've seen guys coming out in the media saying things, you know, they may not.
A lot of it.
They may not come out and say it directly, but they've been saying things,
We heard it pretty direct.
Both.
Direct.
But the good teams, right? All, like, the good teams and the teams that have command, when you have leaders that have command of their locker room, everything stays in the locker room. It's us versus them. You know what I'm saying?
No,
everything stays in the locker room.
Yeah. I mean, and I know sometimes fans, media get a little, like, but it's a proven way of approaching things that when you do it correctly results in wins on the football
field. Bill Belichick was winning all them championships up in New England, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did we get anything?
No.
Did we get anything? We didn't get nothing at the press conference.
No Tom Brady podcast?
We didn't get nothing at the press conference. You didn't see guys in out in the media letting things slip. We didn't, but we knew one. What did we get?
You got a product on the field that was going to win. Yeah. You knew what was coming to the table when New England came to town. You better be on your P's and Q's because they were going to embarrass you, and they were about winning championships. Kansas City. What do we say from Kansas City and Andy Reid?
Listen. If that's not, it's not just Patrick Mahomes.
How many examples do I got to give?
The winning ones, please.
Yeah. No, it's culture, too, because KC's finding ways now, maybe not today. They may finally get their first loss of the season here in Buffalo, but they found ways to reinvent themselves and win with defense.
Yeah. Mike Tomlin.
In addition.
Right?
Yeah.
He's had a new roster, right? Roster changes, quarterback changes. Has he ever had a losing season?
He has not.
But he always had command, right? And has he always set in place a standard? Regardless of who the player is, he's called out players in meetings.
Yes.
I think that's the thing, man. Like that's the part for me where I look at this team and I do question the head coach.
Yes.
He got his hits principle, the quits principle, slapped in the face the first year it was here. Right? Or I'm sorry, the second year it was here when Chase Claypool came in and lollygagged. And what did he say? That's a moment. Okay, we're going to set an example. Chase ain't playing. Chase ain't going to be on the field. We're not going to accept that. Chase Claypool not only was on the field the next week, he was the starting wide receiver the next week.
Well, remember,
he didn't have that standard.
They announced Chase Claypool as a starter. They announced 12 starters, remember, last year. Because Claypool, they didn't want to hurt his feelings.
But it's so sad when you sit there and you see him put this principle out. This is our standard. This is what we have. And how many players have we seen disrespect that standard over a three-year period? That means you don't have a standard.
Exactly.
That means you don't have a principle. That means that you have some players that believe in you and some players who are like, that's cute. You got a little college thing going on. That's fun acronym.
We saw Chad Johnson have a heck of a career in Cincinnati, right? And then he left Cincinnati and went to the Patriots. Mm-hmm. And what happened? He was non-existent, right? Because he couldn't learn the playbook. He wasn't playing up to a standard.
Yeah.
And Bill Belichick didn't care who you were.
Freelance and not going to work.
You ain't just going to go out there and run whatever type of route you want. You're going to run the route that we
coming
you to run.
He was on the roster, but ultimately he was not playing.
It was like
4 weeks, right? No, I think he was on the roster in the playoffs. Or maybe they brought him back.
Okay.
But ultimately, he wasn't ever. He wasn't even, like you said, non-factor.
That's what you're not going to come up here and just do what you did in Cincinnati. This is not your team. It's my team.
So I think
you can do what I tell you to do.
I think we've delved deep into some of the issues that are plaguing the Bears. We'll continue to take your calls. This is the Post Game Show, 312-332-3776 on your home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN 1000.
ESPN Chicago.
Packers 20, Bears 19. Scott Daly on the ball. Taylor will extend his right hand on cue from Cairo Santos. South end zone upright. Snap. Placement.
Oh, got
kick
hit.
Is blocked by the Green Bay Packers. They got the penetration and they blocked the kick. And they will survive and leave with an 11th consecutive win over the Bears. Crusher. 20-19. Green Bay the win. To go to 7-3. The Bears fall to 4-6. Haven't seen a replay. Not sure that I want to.
What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
11 straight losses for the Bears as they fall to the Packers. This one goes to 11, boys. No fun.
Oh,
tough
man.
Way to lose. You heard Jeff Joniak on the call, along with Tom Thayer. Jason McKee, who's with us here now in studio on State Street. He was on the sidelines watching the Bears players take that one in. Had to be dejected on the sidelines, right, J-Mac?
You know, the highlight of my day was my guy Devin Hester was in the building at halftime. A lot of my old teammates was there. Mike Brown, Israel Adonijay, Adrian Peterson. Little Garrett Wolf was there, Rasheed Davis. It was awesome. Mike Brown was in the building.
Hell yeah.
To celebrate our guy at halftime. He got his ring from the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
They had a great ceremony for him at halftime. He got a standing ovation from the fans, as he should.
Yep.
But, you know, shout out to Devin. So that was one highlight. That was one positive takeaway I can take from today.
Have we ever won a game where we're honoring somebody at halftime?
Here you go with the negativity. I don't know.
I'm just asking. I'm trying to think.
Yes.
Did we win?
I believe.
Here you go.
I'm trying to remember. They won it. Was it Tennessee or they honored Mongo at halftime? Either against Tennessee or the Rams this year.
They did,
they won.
Yeah.
They won.
Oh,
I can't remember which game it was, but they won both those games. So they did do that. I think it was the opener.
So it was positive then. Yeah, it was a positive
every once in a while.
It was a positive answer.
We won, Pat.
Meller, Pat the Designer, Jason McKee with you here on the Post Game Show. We're here with you after every Bears game, after Peggy and Yurko wrap up the post-game show. Again, Bears lose 20-19 at home today against the Packers. Let's try David, who's on the south side. What's going on, Dave?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing good. How you
What's
doing,
going on, Dave?
I'm doing fine. One thing I noticed about Eberflus is that as long as we're in a close game, he plays not to lose the game. He doesn't play to win. Yep. He always does that. Mm. And we're never going to win as long as we got him as a coach because he's going to play not to lose.
Listen, it's a fair criticism, David, and you see that from a lot of defensive coaches, you know, and it's kind of part of the makeup, right? Like, of that type, that side of the ball is you're just like, just don't mess it up. And I can't really, I can't disagree with you, David.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
It's a frustrating part of being a Bears fan.
I just pulled this up. I mean, it is staggering that Matt Eberflus is still here. And Matt Eberflus' record as a Bears head coach so far, 13 total wins.
Yes.
30 total losses. He's 0-5 against the Packers. He's 0-18 on away games on Sunday, and he has blown six games with a 95% chance to win. That's your head coach.
And that doesn't include today's game.
I think that is including today's game.
No, they didn't have a 95% chance. Do you think the field goal attempt?
The field goal attempt probably pushed you high. Maybe not, though. It might not have been 95%.
We'll have to look it up, but I think that stat does not include today's loss.
The thing with Flus, it's good enough. It's like you said, it's very conservative. I think about the Detroit game. You get the big lead, it's good enough. The Denver game, you get the big lead, it's good enough. You're not keeping your foot on the gas in the second half. Hey, defense, just don't screw it up. Today's game, we got in a position. I can understand the call of letting Cairo kick a 46-yard field goal. Mm-hmm. He should be able to make that.
He should.
Still a very conservative decision. Hey we're going to go safe here.
Tressman settled for a 47-yarder. Am I correct, if I remember correctly? I think Tressman settled for a 47-yard field goal attempt. It might have been an overtime.
Yes.
And he got crushed.
He did it on
Second down. Yeah.
He did it on second down.
We've been through this before. Yeah. The more things change, the more they stay the same here in Chicago. Let's try Stan, who's in Crown Point, Indiana. What's going on, Stan?
Stan.
What's up, guys?
What's happening, Stan?
Love your show.
Hey, thanks, Stan.
Hey, check this out. So I need your opinion on something. Mm. So earlier in the show, you were talking about Oh, my name's Dan, by the way.
Oh, Dano.
Dan. Oh, man.
Dano, so much better than Stan.
Yeah, Stan. Who the fuck?
Whoa. There goes Dan.
All right, Dan, going to give you a mulligan, but you only get one.
I apologize.
You caught that.
Hey, so, look, you were talking earlier in the show about none of the coaches, no matter, you know, if it's the coach or offensive or defensive, whatever, whoever it is, that nobody's going to, I mean, the Bears don't ever get rid of anybody until, like, at end of the year. So, finally, they replace the OC. I mean, you know, the offensive coordinator. Yeah. And I think this guy did a really good job today, even though we lost. Mm-hmm. You know, it seemed more structured and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, this is my opinion, and I want yours. And I'm sorry about that.
That's okay, no worry.
Okay. I think it's money, because maybe you guys know this better than I do, but if you cut someone, let's say, half the season, and then you bring somebody else in, maybe you still got to pay that guy, and then you got to pay that guy.
Yeah, so Dan,
because the Bears,
the way it works is, if you fire a coach, you're on the hook for their guaranteed portion of the contract. So, you know, I believe Brad Biggs had the report that Matt Eberflus signed a 5-year deal. That's what Brad Biggs believes, which means that he's got 2 years remaining after this year. And no matter if Eberflus is not hired to be a head coach, which you wouldn't think would be the case in that two-year period, the Bears will be on the hook to pay whatever difference. If he goes back into coaching as a DC, they would have to pay the difference. And so, you know, do they now? But that doesn't really prohibit them from making a change mid-year if you believe you'll do it at the end of the year, right? You're, like, that's where we get into this question of if you know you're going to do it at the end of the year and you think he's lost the players' respect or the locker room, then, you know, why would you keep him around? I thought that today's game was paramount for his job tenure for the remainder of the season, that they get some type of response.
Because
you couldn't have what happened against the Patriots happen again today. That would have been an absolute disaster.
Well, and I think, listen, this is the kind of head coach that they want, right? We talked about the Mike Sando report when me and Shea were on, that, you know, execs around the league believe that the Bears want a structure that has an empowered team president and an empowered front office, and they want a head coach. They're not going out to find a power head coach. They're not going to go get a Jim Harbaugh. They're not going to go get guys who are going to speak against what they're trying to do, which means you're probably getting guys who don't care about picking their coaching staff, don't care about you know, going and getting the player that they want. They're more focused on, okay, whatever players you give me, that's what you're going to get. When you have those options, Flus is the kind of coach that they want.
Yeah, like Mike Vrabel, Bill Belichick are two guys who are out of work who would seem to fit that type of pedigree that you're talking about, Pat. Yeah. Guys who would come in, who would be a Bill Parcells type that you were talking about last segment, J-Mac.
Yeah, I mean, just think about it. Like, the success rate, if you're the head coach, you can't pick your staff. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like, you're a chef, but I can't pick my ingredients. It's not going to work.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's even crazier. not longer than to pick your staff. That's, you can't even pick your sous chefs.
But I think that's the situation we're in, right?
Think about this.
With Shane Waldron, you had an offensive coordinator that you had never seen coach before. There's no staff that Matt Eberflus has been on that Shane Waldron has been on. So I've never seen how this guy coaches. I have all the confidence in the world in him. 9 games into the season, now I'm going, you know, we just felt he wasn't holding people accountable enough. You know when you know if a guy's not holding people accountable enough? If you're on a staff with him. That kind of leads me to believe that you have some people above you making some decisions for the people that are on your staff.
Maybe that's the case, but you know it's problematic. I played a soundbite earlier in the week from Matt Eberflus at the Combine when he was talking about hiring Shane Waldron, and he talked about how his conversation with Pete Carroll really led him to believing that he was the right guy for the job. And this is problematic to your point, Pat. He didn't know firsthand what type of person he was getting with Shane Waldron.
Yeah.
Now, Shane Waldron, when he got the best out of Geno Smith a couple of years ago, Dave Canales, who's now currently the head coach in Carolina because of the job he did in Tampa Bay last year, he was on the same staff as Shane Waldron. A lot of people believe that Dave Canales is the guy who's responsible for helping Geno figure things out. Nevertheless, what we're seeing here is that Matt Eberflus made the decision on Shane Waldron. And when I was listening to Thomas Brown speak on Wednesday, I was saying to myself, you interviewed both Thomas Brown and Shane Waldron, and somehow you came to the conclusion. Like, it'd be one thing if Shane Waldron was a dynamic personality and so was Thomas Brown,
and you
went with Shane Waldron. That was clearly not the case.
You interviewed Cliff Kingsbury, too, who coached Caleb.
That
might be a Cliff decision based on what we heard Cliff.
But, like, I don't
That might be a Cliff choice. What happened with that interview? We're not going to speak on it.
Yeah, we don't know the details.
I digress. I pass. I think I'm going to pass on that job.
I don't know how you went with, okay, Shane Waldron, this guy, like, based, especially too in the aftermath, what we've heard from the players about not holding people accountable, being too nice, how you went with Shane Waldron and not Thomas Brown is kind of insane to me. And so, yet again, to me, another indictment on Matt Eberflus and his decision-making process. Yep. We got to take one more quick time out, and then we'll wrap up the calls before we get out of here. Jason McKee, Pat the Designer, Jeff Mellor, the post-game show here on ESPN 1000.
Postgame continues now on the new home of the Bears, ESPN Chicago. Here are your hosts, Jason McKee, Jeff Mellor, and Pat the Designer.
Time flies when you're having fun, even when it is in a Bears loss. They fall to the Packers 20-19 on a devastating blocked field goal that would have won the game had Cairo Santos been able to convert from 46, but alas, he did not. It was blocked. And Matt Eberflus did settle for 46. He had an opportunity to run another play and potentially gain a few yards if he wanted to, chose not to, and settled for a 46-yard attempt, which ultimately was blocked. Caleb looked pretty solid in the game. Thomas Brown, I believe we all would agree, did a nice job changing the pace from Shane Waldron and putting Caleb in some good spots to not only run the football, but he made some nice throws as well. So I think that's the encouraging thing that we can talk about. But again, a tough loss. I'm Jeff Meller, Pat the Designer, Jason McKee, who was on the sidelines for today's game. And ripping through some final calls here before we wrap it up. Let's try Carl, who's in Aurora, boys.
So no, Carl.
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing?
How you doing?
Thanks, hey, enjoy Carl. The show. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, yes sir. Yes, sir.
Sounds, sounds great.
Beautiful. So, couple questions, or one question, basically a statement. I think Eberflus has been debated to death. Worst situational coach in football I think I've ever seen on the Bears. It's almost like he doesn't get the rules, and I know he does, about timeouts. You can't carry him with you to the next game, not taking that last play. But here's my question. The biggest crime, well, they've done, personally to me, is you killed Caleb Williams' rookie year. We should have had a playoff year. I know it's about developing him now. Hopefully he got some confidence back. My question to you guys is actually a pretty easy one. Ryan Poles, how tied into Eberflus's fate is he? Because it looks like they're not going to get to 7-10 record like last year. And that's, you know, forget the playoffs. I mean, mm-hmm. it really feels like we're not even going to get to last year's record. What happens to Poles at the end of this? I think everyone has a really strong idea of what's going to happen to Eberflus. Thank you, gentlemen.
I think when you talk about the conversation, what happens to Poles, he gets an opportunity to build his offensive line. You got to get it right quick. Yeah, that's what it comes down to. That's the thing we think is missing. Listen, today shows you you have two really good wide receivers on your team. We know what Cole Kmet is. It seems like you have a quarterback that when the pressure is on most, he can go out there and play. You've got a bunch of studs on the defensive side. You built this thing backwards.
Yep.
And it irritates most of our souls. I think most football people, every former player I've talked to is like, all right, we built them from the outside in. This is interesting. Mm-hmm. But now you get to build your base. You get to build your trenches. You got to hit fairly quickly on that. You cannot go into another season where we're sitting here having a tough conversation on another quarterback about, hey, you know, I think that this kid can play, but at the same time, he's running a lot.
Yeah, it's building the O-line, but it's also building, adding to the defensive line, right? Yes. Adding pass rush.
Yes.
If you want to have a, I mean, you've got the secondary, you brought in blue chip players at the linebacker position, you traded for one in Montez Sweat. But you need more. You know what I mean? You need a consistent pass rush with your front four. You also, like we talked about, offensive line has been a hot topic of debate. You felt that if you brought in a quarterback in Caleb Williams, he would overcome a lot of the deficiencies in the offensive line. But as it hasn't happened. And and it's understandable. You can't expect any rookie to come in this league and just light the world on fire. You know, and you've had an offensive coordinator, I think, that – put a lot on a young rookie, right, to make this offense go, making the right checks and protection. You know what I'm saying? Giving him the option to change calls when sometimes they didn't need to be changed.
Yeah.
That call needed to be run. You know what I mean? And it's a lot for a rookie, and it's tough. So it all starts up front, like we talked about. You can't put the roof on a house without a foundation. You can't build things out on the perimeter without making sure the interior is solidified. And that's where it should have started.
And I think to answer your question, Carl, I do believe Ryan Poles will, you know, depending on how bad the rest of the season goes, I'm with you. The schedule doesn't really look like it breaks their way, so it'll be tough to get to 7 wins. But listen, it is the NFL. It's not impossible. We saw them give a good effort in a game that they should have won today. So if you do more of this today, it's possible. The Vikings are certainly a team they can beat. The 49ers lost yet again today to the Seahawks. They play the 49ers and Seahawks. So there's a couple of games on the schedule where the Bears, if they give you the effort they gave today, are certainly winnable.
Yeah.
Again, I think Ryan Poles, we've seen, likes Matt Eberflus. He's probably looking for a reason to bring him back. So if Matt Eberflus gives him that, it'll be interesting to see, will Kevin Warren feel like he needs to say, hey, Ryan, look, I get it, but what we went through this season, you know, the first half of the season, even if they do make a little bit of a push in the second half, you also have to ask the question, how did this head coach allow us to get to that spot where we got to week 10 and we were already folding up shop because we knew the playoffs weren't realistic.
Yeah.
That, I think, is a fair question any Bears fan is asking, and I think that's a fair question that needs to be put to Ryan Poles if he wants to be adamant that Matt Eberflus needs to come back next year. And then, if he has an answer to Kevin Warren, I think that's where you hope Kevin Warren says, I get it, Ryan. He's your guy. You believe he's your guy. Still not good enough. You need to make the decision. It's either Matt Eberflus or it's both of you.
Yeah.
Mm. And maybe that'll be an uncomfortable position for Ryan Poles, but this gets back to everything that Pat and J-Mac just talked about. Ryan Poles, his assessment of the offensive line wasn't a good one this year.
Yeah.
I naively gave him a little bit too much benefit of the doubt. I thought maybe the former offensive lineman could pick some gems and we would all be in a better spot.
Yeah.
That hasn't come to fruition. It's been a bad offensive line. And to what Pat was just talking about, now everybody who was saying, you can't win without building up the trenches, well, those people, they look like they are Nostradamus, and the rest of the people were trying to say, Ryan Poles might be able to find some guys. Nah, we look bad right now.
Yeah, the problem is, right, and the part that scares me a little bit is you've got these great pieces. I think you've got the quarterback, if we're being honest. You've got a running back that's good enough for the moment in DeAndre Swift. It's the fact that you didn't even try. You didn't take the bat off your shoulder to even try and help your rookie quarterback. That's the part that scares me the most.
You know what scares me is that I think he was taking a swing, but he thought he was clever and cute enough, you know,
with Ryan Bates.
To figure it out with Ryan Bates. who
we also lost yet again today to concussion protocol.
All right, boys, any final thoughts as we wrap this up? I do want to say thanks to Jack McGrath and Kendra Smith for producing today's post-game show. Any final thoughts before we look ahead for the Vikings next week at Soldier Field?
Yeah, vodka or tequila? That's my final thought. I don't know which one I'm going to
go. Okay.
That's my final thought. That's all I got.
It's a good way to wrap up
that's
a Sunday night. You know what? I'll tell you what. How about both, J-Mac?
I'm going to need to make a decision. Nothing wrong with both.
There you go.
That's my final thought.
The night's still young, boys. All right, for Jason McKee, Pat the Designer, I am Jeff Meller. Thanks for listening. We will be back at it. Don't forget, Matt Eberflus, the Bears head coach, joins Cap and Jay Hood tomorrow at 8:20. So make sure you're locked in on the home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN 1000.